Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to invite you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 today. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to start a mini series. I don't know that there'll be many. Not M-A-N-Y, M-I-N-I. Meaning maybe not many services, but we'll see. But we're going to talk about the Helper. The Helper. And we're going to begin here in John's Gospel. And, you know, if you're interested in our Wednesday night series, you can go back online and get that, or the podcast, or you can actually still buy CDs. Hallelujah. No cassettes, but CDs. All right, so you can get it that way. I had a lot of comments, more than normal. If I get two, it's more than normal. But anyway, praise the Lord. I'm teasing. I had a lot of comments over that message. I think it made a lot of sense to people where we talked, you know, we titled it Our Covenant with God, Part 1, but we were talking about making sense out of God, you know, why certain things happen and don't happen and so forth and why. And when you understand covenant, it makes a lot of sense. It clears up a lot of things that, you know, God wants to help people, but he's limited in his and how he can help them if they're not in covenant with him. But anyway, that's another series. John chapter 14, go there. Got it? Verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hallelujah. Yeah. So how do we know somebody loves the Lord? Because they say, I love the Lord, right? No. Because they keep his commandments, right? Now, what's his number one commandment? Well, love. But listen, there's a first part to that commandment of love. When you read John's writings in 1 John, he said, this is his commandment that we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Right. Because you can't love one another unless you believe on the name of the Son, see? Amen. So the first thing we need to do is believe on Jesus, right? People aren't going to hell because, you know, they do this, they do drugs, they do that. They think they are, but the problem is they don't know Jesus Christ, see? If they knew Jesus, he'd deliver them from all the other stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's not really the issue. It's because they believe not on him. Amen. Now, he said, if you love me, verse 15, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, or I like the New King James there, he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. You know, when you get born again, just as soon as you get born again, one thing that's so fantastic about Christianity is as soon as you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you and begins to help you. You talk about some help now. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter, another helper, another. Now, what does he mean? Well, up till this time, he's been their helper. I mean, if they needed help, Jesus helped them, didn't he? Amen. And they needed help. Amen. His disciples needed help, didn't they? And they weren't getting it. But he said, I'm going to give you another helper. Now, listen, let me say this to you in a way that maybe will even bring it even more clear. When he said another helper, what he's saying, I'm going to give you someone just like me. You're not going to get shortchanged. Amen. Right? If I had a dollar and I gave it to Pastor Jerry, you know, and then I had another dollar and I took that dollar away and gave him this other dollar, how many know it's two different dollars, but it's the same value? See, now here's the thing. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, I know when I got saved, he came in, he began to help me. The first week I was saved, he told me. You know, I had some inklings of it before I was saved, but I didn't really know it. But the first week I was saved, everybody say first week. I don't know the books of the Bible, you know what I'm saying? But the first week I was saved, first week I remembered, you know, spiritual things stay with you. The first week I was saved, he told me, he said, you're called to preach. I came out, I was 21 years old. I came out of the basement. I'd been saved for a few days. I came out of the basement and told my, I was living with my parents. And I came out of the basement and told my, because that was where my study was at. And I told my mother, I said, I'm called to preach. You could just see it on her face. Just get back down in the basement, son. Just get back down in the basement. Because, see, he didn't tell her that. He told me that, see. But it turned out to be the Holy Spirit. It turned out to be God. But what was he doing? He started leading me, man. He started preparing me, and he started helping me. Now, everything that he helped me with wasn't necessarily something you might want to shout about, because there were things that he helped me with that he told me I needed to quit doing. Amen. So, but everything he does, he's doing it to help you to have a better life. He wants you to have a blessed life. See? So everything he does it for your good, you know. If the Holy Spirit, you know, leads you to do something, how many know, and we'll be talking about this later on in this series, it's for your benefit. Amen. Because he's the Spirit of truth. He leads you into all truth. Amen. And so Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, or one just like me. And verse 17, he went on to say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. Now notice, and he shall be in you. He's with you right now, but when the disciples got born again, he moved on the inside. And he said, the world can't receive the Spirit because they don't see him. In other words, the world can't believe anything they don't see. But you and I as believers, we're supposed to believe things that we don't see. We're supposed to believe what the Word says, whether we see it or not. Whether we feel it or not. This is called faith, everybody. I know you know this, but how many know we got to be reminded that we're supposed to believe it first and then see it next. Not see it first then say, well, hallelujah, I knew it all along. See, Brian assured me this morning that Pastor Chuck had already prophetically told him that the Colts were going to win today. And I said, if Pastor Chuck is really, truly in faith about that, he will watch the game instead of waiting to find out who won and then watch it. So if he doesn't watch the game, Joanne, tell me, and we'll know Pastor Chuck is a false prophet. Okay, Phyllis said don't say that. Let's just say he was presumptuous. What? He missed it. What does a false prophet do? They miss it. All right. I rest my case. Now, anyway, let's move on. All right. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. See, they're without the Spirit of truth, so why would we follow their advice? They might be right, but they don't have the Spirit of truth. I'd follow the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he says, because they see him not, neither know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, notice this is the King James. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. But that word comfortless means I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you without somebody to take care of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you got to know Jesus had a lot of confidence and faith in the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about what he did. You know, he came down here and he picked 12 disciples. And out of those 12 disciples, out of their preaching, the gospel has gone all over the earth. It began with Jesus, but he knew at some point, I'm leaving. And so he got 12 around him that he imparted to. But even at that, we read in John, which we're not going to read that scripture today, maybe we'll later in our teaching, John 16, him talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them, you can't understand them, you can't get them right now. But when he comes, he'll be able to get across to you. Now, see, here's the thing, you know, Jesus, you know, people say, well, you know, the Lord, he left the church in the hands of the disciples. You know, I'm glad that that statement is false. He did not leave the church in the hands of the disciples. He left the church in the hands of the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's still in His hands. The true living church is still in His hands today. And if He's leading this church, if this church is listening to Him, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church. If we're listening to Him, we're going to be in a greater place than what we are right now. Amen. Right? People say God is in control. Well, if God is in control, He sure got things in a mess. No, God's not in control. Where God's in control is called heaven. He's not in control. Now, that doesn't mean He doesn't... See, this is really a problematic with a lot of churches saying this kind of thing, because they teach the sovereignty of God, and I believe in the sovereignty of God, but you have to understand, if God doesn't just force His way on people. If He did, everybody would be saved today. Right. It's His will that everybody be saved. Yeah. So He's not forcing His will on people. So they have to yield to Him. They have to listen to Him. They have to obey Him. All right? So if God was in charge, you know, I might as well say this while I'm at it. You know, God's not, you know, I hear people say, you know, whoever gets an office, in president, that was God's will. Yeah, no, it wasn't God's will. It's not always God's will. Well, doesn't the Bible say that God sets them up and He takes them down? Yeah, but it doesn't mean He sets every one of them up and takes every one of them down. You interpreted that with your own interpretation. Sure, He can stick people in. Sure, He can remove people. But it doesn't mean everybody that gets in office, He put them in there. Amen? So let's don't get like this kind of religious idea that God's just controlling everything. No, there's coming a day when He controls everything. And in those days, the Bible talks about the millennial reign talks about that Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. If I don't want to go to church some Sunday morning, He'll beat me with a rod of iron. You get out of that bed, boy. You think pastor's tough? Wait till Jesus is in control. Now, how many know what it means is, you know, it's going to be the way of righteousness. See, that's what He's saying. Now, so you understand that here's the thing about Jesus. He entrusted the whole future of Christianity to the Spirit of God. He believed that the Spirit of God would be able to get across to His disciples the truth, and He did. He did. And see, Jesus even, which is a scripture in John, which we'll read sometime maybe later in our teaching, but Jesus said, it's more profitable for you that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. Well, you have to put yourself in these disciples, how could it be more profitable? You understand, these guys were just ordinary people. I mean, they were fishermen. They were tax collectors. One of them was. You know, they just had ordinary jobs. They had families. You know, people say, you know, about Peter, you know, that, you know, he was, you know, that he was the first pope, you know, and all. But he had a mother-in-law. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Remember that? Now, Brother Cap said that's why Peter denied Him 3 times. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what he said. Well, how do you understand that He's just got ordinary people? That's it. The Bible says in Acts that they were unlearned, they were untrained. Now, that doesn't mean that they were untrained in every area. It just means in matters of higher religion of the day, they were untrained in it. They hadn't been to the highfalutin Bible schools. But they had been with the Word. That's a huge difference. See, nothing wrong with Bible school, but you better go to Bible school. It teaches you the Word, right? So, here's what happened. Here's why it's better. You know, when Jesus was with His disciples, He was limited to His physical body. He could only be one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit could be everywhere all the time. In other words, if Peter needed help and Jesus was in another city, Peter didn't have any help. He was without help. But with the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He's not only with you, He's going to be in you, and wherever you're at, there He is. I remember one time when the Lord gave me that revelation that God's inside of me, praise God, 24/7, it had a revolutionary life, or it had a revolutionary change, and it brought a revolutionary change in my life, Pastor Chuck. Yeah. When I got, I remember that. I still remember that revelation coming to me, and wow, what a powerful thing that was to realize that God's with me. But it takes faith to believe that, and to operate in that, understand that, yeah. Amen, and get the benefits out of it. Right. And see, the Spirit of God's ministry operates by faith. By faith, everything in the kingdom does. So, Jesus said, and he spent, which, you know, like I said, later on, we'll probably look at some of these scriptures, but he spent, you know, John 14, 15, and 16. This is before he's getting ready to be offered up on the cross. He spent that time talking about the Holy Spirit because he knew they needed to know. Amen. Now, go in your Bible. Let's go to little John, 1 John chapter 4. Go there. First John, thank God for the Holy Spirit, everybody. Yeah. Thank God for the helper. Yeah. You and I aren't without help. We're not orphans. Amen? Right. He didn't leave us orphans. He didn't leave us just wandering around the streets. He left the Holy Spirit to help us. Thank God he entrusted the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And the Holy Spirit, you know what? He's done the job, hasn't he? Yeah. Here we are, 2,000 something years later, and the gospel is still strong. Hallelujah. Now, here's what you need to know. See, Christianity is the biggest growing religion in the earth. Wait a minute, Pastor. These media says that this religion is. Well, they're just wrong. Once again, you have to filter everything. Right? I remember going by a church one time in our city. Okay, and I don't mean this offensive, but I'm just making a point. I remember going by a church, and I had somebody with me, and I was going by this church in our city. It's a church building, and it's a nice building. It's a big building. And it's a false religion. I mean, anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it's a false religion, right? So it's a false religion. And they said to me, man, they're really doing well. Look at their building. I said, well, you got to think about something here. It's the only one of those in town. Yeah. It's it. There's 457,000 churches in Evansville. That's so when you get tired of one, you can go to the other. You heard that story about this guy that was on this deserted island, been there for years, and finally a ship came by, and he flagged them down, and they came into the shore. And the guy said, man, I've been here for like, I think it was like maybe 15, 20 years. He said, you're the first ship I've even seen in all this time. And so they walk around, and he shows them three buildings that he's built. And so the guy goes, what's those three buildings? He said, well, see that one there? That's where I live. He said, okay, what's that building? He said, that's where I go to church. He said, what's this building over here? He said, that's where I used to go to church. But when you do the numbers and the math, Christianity's outgrowing all of them. Because, you know what I'm saying? I used to say this because I'd read the back of preachers' CD covers and tape covers, and they would say, I pastor the largest growing church in Zama County. And I thought, well, you know, it's all right, brag on. But anyway, and I would say, you know, because we used to have a building, some of you weren't there, but we had a building, leased a building over in a place called Vogel Business Park. And I would tell people, I pastor the fastest growing church in Vogel Business Park. I didn't tell them we were the only church there, so... You know what I'm saying? If you got one person and another one shows up, man, you're going faster than the big church. You've doubled. The big church didn't do that. See, that's the way they look at that. But let me tell you, the work that Jesus started, it's still going strong. Because the Holy Spirit's still in the earth. Hallelujah! And there are still churches allowing him to move. They're not ashamed of him. They're not ashamed of his gifts. I'm glad we're a church that still sings in tongues. Amen. We're not ashamed of it. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit's awesome. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4. The Bible says, you are of God, little children, and you've overcome them. Now, he's talking about the Antichrist spirits. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ooh, that's a shout in Scripture right there. So the greater one's on the inside of us. But, you know, he's talking about the Antichrist spirits here. And he's talking about, you know, because we see that right now. We see that in our world today right now. That absolutely, the Antichrist spirits are really strong in America and throughout the world. The spirit of Antichrist. Now, John told us even in his days. He said, there are many Antichrist spirits right now. And he said, thereby you know the Antichrist is coming. Well, how many know that the stronger that manifestation gets, the sooner we know the Antichrist is coming? Now, I don't know, but I would just say, this is just me saying this, this is the Lord, but I would just say he's alive today. I see he's in his physical body today. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I certainly tell you this, there are definitely more Antichrist spirits in our world today than there ever was. You know, Antichrist means against, but it also means to replace. It means against, get out of the way and replace. That's what's happening even here in America. They're against Christ. They're against Christianity. And they're trying to replace him and get him out of the way. You know, the devil, here's the thing about the devil knows what's real. Doesn't he? The devil knows what to attack. You know how they take God's name in vain? God blank, and sometimes you hear people say they'll use Jesus' name wrong. Why don't they do that with Buddha? Why don't they say Buddha blank? Why don't they say Hare Krishna blank? Because the devil knows he wants to blaspheme the name that has some power.
That's right.
Amen? You know, those seven sons of Sceva, remember them in the book of Acts where they said, we adjure you. They ran into that person with the evil spirit and said, we adjure you by Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches. Well, you see, they at least think, you know, got to give the guy some credit. At least they were trying to get the guy delivered. At least they knew what name to use. But some, you know, only us believers have a right to that precious name. Glory to God. And, you know, they said, we adjure you, you know, by Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches. Come out of the man. I love what that David said. He said, you know, he said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Yeah. Amen. Amen. You look at it a little deeper in the Greek, it's pretty funny because it says, Jesus, I recognize. He's the Son of God. You know, when he was in his ministry, the demons were scream out and say, you're the Holy One of God. They recognized him. They recognized that. And like where it says Paul, I know, it gives the indication, Paul I've heard about. I've heard of Paul. Are you known in hell? Now you need to walk in a way that the hell knows about you. But hell didn't know about these people. Come on. And when they said, come out, they said, who are you? I know Paul. You mentioned Paul? Oh, yeah, I know him. If he told me to come out, I'd come out. Jesus? Certainly. I'd have been gone before he got here. But who are you? I'll tell you who we are. We're born again, sons and daughters of the Most High that have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Praise God. And the greater one lives inside of us. And greater is he that is in us than all those Antichrist spirits out in the world. So don't you come in here sniffling about sinners attacking you. Don't you come in here sniffling about the government doesn't like you. Don't you come in here sniffling about, that's good preaching. Because the greater one's living inside of you. What are you talking about? Greater is he that's in you. The Bible said in Psalms, the Lord said, let him rage on, I sit in heaven and laugh. I'm going to hold him in derision. It means I'm going to mock him. They're not getting anywhere. But you know what? When it says greater, you know, I've given this illustration before, but I like this. You know, a football isn't really a big ball. It's a little ball. And if you ever watch football, if it ever gets loose, oh, all those fat guys are jumping on it. I mean, I've seen them like piled this high, and underneath there's this little ball, and yet it doesn't pop. Now, why? Well, the reason is because the pressure inside of it is greater than the pressure of all those fat guys laying on top of it. I'm just saying to you, there may be a lot of fat demons lying on you right now. Come on. But greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. You got to remember that when you're on the bottom of that pile. Because you can sure forget it. Come on, everybody felt like you've been on the bottom of the pile? I've been there. And you can sure forget that the greater one, because all those fat demons are on top of you. Man, I can't hardly breathe. That's heavy. Come on, we all come under attack, right? Yeah. That's when you got to just yell out from the bottom of the pile, greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. Amen. I remember Dr. Barclay telling one time, he said, you know, years ago, he said, you know, and it was many, many years ago, he's just a young preacher, he said, you know, I went to visit my pastor at his house. He said, I'm just sitting there at the table on my back, just, whoo, it just goes out. And he said, it's so bad, it's so painful. He said, I can't move. I can't go home. It's that bad. He said, they had to take me and put me to bed. The doctor checked him out, you know, came and checked him out. And the doctor said, well, you've had to have this issue for years. So there's been something wrong with you for years. He said, there's no way. He said, I've been healthy. It just went. And he said, I noticed down inside of me, I'd hear this little, by His stripes I'm healed. Sound like Pee Wee Herman. Because, you know, that demon's piled on you, you know. You know, demons attack you sometimes, and you got to know you're the greater ones living on the inside of you. And he said, I just sensed that, you know, I had the Bible by me, you know, and he meditated on the scriptures. He said, I noticed that voice that, by His stripes I'm healed. He said, I noticed after a little while, after meditating the word, he said, I noticed a little while, it got a little stronger. By His stripes, I'm healed. Huh. He said, eventually it got to where, by His stripes, I'm healed. He said, when that happened, I was healed. I got up and left there. Amen. What happened? You have to get down inside of you that you have some greater things, some greater weapons. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone greater living on the inside of you. Right. I know sometimes life gets tough, but when it gets tough, remember the tougher ones living inside of you. Amen. Greater is He that's in you. I will not leave you helpless. Come on, you and I by ourselves aren't smarter than the devil. He's been around too long. He knows every trick in the book. And God said, I'm not going to allow him to use something against you that's not common to you. Remember that, Corinthians? I'm not going to allow him. But see, here's something we need to know. So there's someone living inside of us is far more knowledgeable than he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The one living inside of us, he's the one that was there when God said, when the Bible says, in the beginning, let God create the heavens and the earth. And the earth was out form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. There's a greater one living inside of us, guys. I said, there's a greater one living inside of us. You know why? You know why you need to hear this? Because you need to hear it. That's deep. But you have to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have to become God inside minded. Hallelujah. God inside minded. Amen. Now, amen. Let me see what I want to go to. You are, let me say this to you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that. And He dwells inside of us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We've got a little time here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll at least start this. And if we don't get done with what we're talking here in Romans 8, we'll come back to it next week. Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. Everybody say, the helper, is living inside of me. So we got help. Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing, everybody. You know, the Bible tells us in Samuel that Samuel told Saul, he said, you go your way. And he said, there's going to be prophets meet you. And he said, the anointing is going to come on you and you'll be changed into another man. The anointing has a way to change you into another person. It's like I told you the other day, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was at this restaurant in another city. And I ran into a guy I knew before I was saved. We played poker together. Well, you know, I went over to the table where he was at. And we started talking. And I hadn't seen him in a long time. And he said, I heard you became a preacher. I said, yes. He said, you still preaching? I said, yes. He said this to me. He said, who would hire you to preach? I said, well, you know, the Lord does change people. When you give your life to Jesus and you're born again, He changes you. You're not the same person any longer. Everybody says, the Bible says, when we're in Christ, we're a new creature. Old things have passed away. So, he's stuck on the past. He said, well, I remember when we played poker. Yeah, I do too. I remember that. But do you understand? That man's, I didn't say this to him. He probably would have really freaked out. That man's dead. He'd have been like, you're not dead. There you are. And I was like, I don't have time. I'm trying to get my pecan pie. I just want to get a piece of pecan pie. That's all I did. Phil said, where you been? I wanted to get a piece of pecan pie, and 20 minutes later, I returned. And I did not forget the pecan pie, by the way. But, you know, that's all I was doing, man. I was just going to get some dessert, and there he is. And so, but see, you have to understand. See, we had a lady one time, people were coming to our meetings, and this guy that came to our meetings, his sister, we graduated together. And so he invited her to come to the meeting. She says, I wouldn't go hear a thing he said. I wouldn't believe anything he said. And eventually, she got born again and started coming to the services, and she got changed. So thank God. How many of God changes you?
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you stay the same, guess what? You need to take another dip.
Yeah.
And not a snuff.
Yeah. Amen.
Another dip of the glory. Amen?
Come on.
Come on. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I got something called good old-fashioned salvation.
Right.
Wait a minute, man. I mean, I got sanctified from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I know people struggle with things sometimes after they're saved, but God will help you. But I tell you, I went in there with some faith that when I went in there, I was going to be free. Praise God. Amen. And so it all left me. Not everything I need to get rid of, but all the drugs, all the alcohol, you know, all that left me. That left me. I haven't touched it since. I don't want that. I've got the Holy Spirit. I'd rather be drunk on the Spirit than drunk on wine. I've been drunk on both. I know which is the best. He said, well, man, you sure gave up a lot, you know? Oh, yeah, it's called death, destruction, misery, pain, gloom, despair, and agony on me. I gave up a lot to follow Jesus. Are you kidding me? I didn't give up a lot. I got a lot. I got an inheritance. Sometimes you just want to slap Christians, but you walk in love. It's like, oh, it's so bad. So I don't even know why I got saved, Pastor. I tell you, sinners treat me better than the church did. Well, slap yourself. Stop that. God's been good to you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Did you find Romans 8? Let me read this. We'll close out here. We'll probably come back and visit this next Sunday. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, thank God for the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Now, what does he mean? Well, you mean if you're not led by the Spirit, you're not a son of God? Well, actually, see, there's two different Greek words for son. There's one that's called huos. There's another one called technon. And this one here is the word huos. Now, here, huos means mature son. Technon just means you were born of God. You're God's child because you're born of Him, see? But growing up, you know, when you grow up, you become mature. It's huos. Every time the Bible refers about Jesus being the Son of God, it always uses the word huos. It doesn't use the word technon. It means huos. He's a mature son. Amen. He looks like his father. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you know what He's going to do? He's going to develop you into the image of Christ. He's going to lead you. Amen. And He's going to direct you. Notice this. For we have not received, verse 15, the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we spent some time talking about that. I don't know what we were preaching on when we talked about it. I'm sorry, but I just remember talking about it some services ago where we talked about adoption. And what adoption means is when it talks about the believer being adopted, it just means we have family privileges. See, we're not adopted like like we think of adoption today. We're not adopted that way. We were born again. We were born into the family. But adoption, you know, adoption, it speaks of something even higher. See, I told you this when whatever it was we preached on. You know, you know, some of you that are here today, you were accidents. See, John admits it. But John, you're one of the best accidents I've ever met. Praise God. No, how many know that's true, right? See, some of you don't want to admit it. No, my parents planned me way ahead of time. Don't kid yourself. Some of you, they did. Some of you, they's like, we weren't expecting that. Right? So they don't have any choice. They're stuck with you. But if you go adopt somebody, you picked them out because you want them. So I told you, my sister was young. I remember my older brother would tell her, "You're adopted." And it bothered her. She'd cry, "I'm adopted." And after I learned about Bible adoption, I'm thinking, that's great. You ought to shout, "I'm adopted." They wanted me. They just had you. They chose me. So that's what the Bible's talking about when it says we're adopted. God chose us because He wanted us. Come on now. We were the devil's children. We were under His dominion. And God came along and said, "I'll take that one. I'll 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 take that one. Woo! Glory. Yeah, He'll take them all. He'll take the whole orphanage." We ought to shout about that. Hallelujah. Everybody say, "God wants me."
God wants me.
Hallelujah. Say, "I'm adopted."
I'm adopted.
Don't say, "I'm adopted." No, I'm adopted. God wanted me. And He gave me privileges. Amen? You know, when you get married, guess what? I mean, that's the way Phyllis and I approach it, you know. Don't get offended, but I mean, we didn't have any kind of prenuptial agreement like, you know, if this doesn't work out, you don't get, Phyllis said, you don't get my SR Corolla 5. Stick shift with no air. Vinyl seat, you're not getting that. And she doesn't get my, what was that car I had? It wasn't much better. It was a Chevy Cavalier stick shift. It was a little newer than yours. With nice cloth seats. You know, listen. See, we didn't do that. Why? When we got married, one of the first things we did is went and put everything that we had in each other's names. Because we're not planning for failure. If you're going into marriage, think, "Well, if this doesn't work out," you might want to think about that a little bit. You know, really, just don't do it. Well, God went into this agreement with us, and He just planned on it working out. He gave us everything. We became heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You notice God didn't do any prenuptial agreement with us saying, "Now, if it doesn't work out, you know, you're not getting healing." No, He gave us it all. Yes. Amen. Now, notice this, I will visit this again, I think, because we're going to close right now. But look at this, verse 15. For we have not received, you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, you know, the law. The law wasn't bad, but the thing of it was it didn't fix anything. It just let you know what the problem was and you felt guilty. He says, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit... Now, notice this. This is what we're going to talk about a little bit more later on. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Here's something that's so good about the Spirit of God coming to live inside of you, the Helper. He comes in, He will lead you in life. He will lead you in life. Amen? We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But He will lead you in life. Praise God. Thank God for His leading. Amen? He will guide you. How does He do it? Does He boom down a voice from heaven and say, don't do that. Go here. Go there. Well, I wish He did, but He doesn't work that way. How many know He bears witness? You know, the early church, I call them the early church because they were in the beginnings, but the same church we are. But in the book of Acts chapter 15, when they were talking about things and about the Spirit of God leading them, they said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. They didn't say, we heard a booming voice from heaven. It just seemed right. I was reading through there, Acts 15 one day, and I was reading, you know, that the church had sent Judas and Silas to Antioch. Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, you know. Judas and Silas were in Antioch. They were there preaching at the church, and they delivered some letters from the head church at Jerusalem. So these four men are there, and they're delivering these letters to the church, and they're preaching. And time come for them to leave. And I noticed it said that, you know, Judas decided to go back to Jerusalem, but it said it pleased Silas to stay there. It pleased Silas to stay there. I read a few more verses, and Paul says to Barnabas, he said, let's go to all the cities where we've been, and let's preach the word of the Lord to them and see how they do. And Barnabas said, we're going to take Mark with us. And Paul said, no, he's not going with us. He left the work once. And the Bible says the contention was so sharp between them that they parted sunder. Barnabas and someone else went one direction. Barnabas and Mark went one direction, and Paul chose Silas and went another direction. And Paul and Silas became the greatest missionary team of all time. Of all time. And I looked at that and thought, wait a minute. God didn't like boom down and say, Silas, thou shalt travel with Paul. He was just in Antioch and he was getting ready to go home. And it just seemed good to him to stay put. He stayed put. A few verses later, he's with one of the greatest missionaries of all time. See, God doesn't just boom it out, but He leads us by His Spirit. He witnesses to us. Man, I've had that happen over the years. It just seemed right. I don't know why I'm going this way. Don't know why I'm doing this. Don't know why I'm giving this away. But then you find out it was the Holy Ghost. He's our helper, everybody. And He's come to help us. Hallelujah. Praise God for it. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.